In a world full of enigmas, the thrill of seeking the truth, two men review the common and cryptic to contemplate the questions. Aiden Taratz and his father, Mateo Taratz. This is Big Little Mysteries. Episode 3, The Bell Witch. Welcome back to Big Little Mysteries, episode 3. You excited?
Yes.
You seem excited. He's over there, got an ear-to-ear grin. This is Mateo Taratz.
And I'm his son, Aiden Taratz.
You have to keep saying son. If they're in at this point, they should assume, you know, we are father and son.
I'm the father.
Yeah, he's the father with the childlike voice. Aiden's 13. He's a teenager, and he's looking up these mysteries. This one is one I can honestly say I'd never heard of until you did this. And as I looked more into it, there's a couple movies that were based on it, stuff like that too, loosely, I'm assuming. But it is a pretty weird mystery. It's pretty interesting to talk about. So we're going to talk today about the Bell Witch.
You've definitely heard of this story before, first off.
Okay,
all right. You might just not remember it.
I know.
When we were listening to Lore one day, Aaron Mankey.
I might have just forgot, because I've listened to so many of those. It's just like one of the things I don't. I guess it maybe fell off the radar. I don't know if it wasn't interesting enough to me at the time, or I just had other stuff in my mind or something, but it's a pretty weird. It's definitely weird. I guess I'll come right out and say it. When it comes to ghosts, I do feel spiritual energy, but I feel like ghost energy is residual energy. I don't know if it's intelligent or not, because especially when it comes to this stuff, it sounds insane. Like the stuff that happens in the story.
That's
weird. Let's get into the base of the Bell Witch. So what do you got written down for us?
The tale of the Bell Witch is one of America's most prominent and enduring ghost experiences. Stories, I'm not sure which word to use. These stories originated from the early 19th century in the region of northern Middle Tennessee. The tellings involve a series of supernatural events that relentlessly tormented the Bell family, events so terrifying and inexplicable that they captured the attention of an entire nation.
Right. So when it comes to the Bell Witch, first off, stories in the early 19th century, there's a lot of crazy witch stories. And sometimes, from that time and before, there's a lot of crazy supernatural stories that people didn't know how to explain, so they just explain it as devil or witch. Witch having a bad connotation, whereas today, there's more of like the coven, Wiccanism, you know, that type of thing. Back then, a witch was an evil something. This story, as it goes on, too, isn't just an evil something. There's a lot of weird twists and turns in it, too. That's it. We just have scratched the surface on this. But it starts in the early 19th century with the Bell family. And I believe it's John Bell.
John Bell and his family. It all takes place at his residence.
John Bell Sr., I think it was. I think it was Sr., right?
I didn't know that there was a Junior.
I think there was. There's a family patriarch who is dealing with this, and his family is also dealing with the tortured soul, the poltergeist. There's some people that have called it a djinn, which is like a genie type from Eastern folklore, dealing with this intelligent spirit, basically.
It's a little weird because Colonel Andrew Jackson also was involved in this story. A couple years after, he experienced the Bell Witch.
And that's like having, your house is haunted and Kanye talks about it, you know, tweets about it or something. You know, like, that's as base celebrity as you can get is, Andrew Jackson is a celebrity back then, you know?
Yeah.
It's like Joe Biden talking about that or something. I mean, he was the president. I don't know if he was the president during the thing. He was just a general when that
He was
was
Colonel.
Colonel. Okay, but yeah, it's still really weird. It's a weird story. So, what are your how do you feel about the Bell Witch so far? Like just from the beginning of it, because there's more stuff to get into, obviously.
The Bell Witch is kind of scares me a little. I'm gonna be honest there.
Okay. Why?
Because of all the
Thank you for
torment.
being honest, by the way.
Because of the torment that the family went through, there was a lot of I'm trying to think of the right word.
There was weird torment though. Like some of the stuff was weird. And the Bell Witch switched from like really bad to like just mischievous,
Saving
basically.
a random girl's life in a cave or
Yeah.
in the cave too.
There's one part, and it's probably in your story, where he tells somebody not to get married to a person. You know, it's
No,
like,
I don't have that
oh
part.
yeah, that was one thing. One of the stories was that I wish I had the names written down. But there's a girl and a guy, and she's like, you shouldn't get married to that guy, basically. And she ended up not marrying the guy because the Bell Witch told her not to get married to him. Okay.
One of the stories I have is a girl who decided to skip school one day. She went into the Bell Witch cave
Okay.
with a candle. I think she had a friend with her.
Okay.
She wanted to go exploring with the cave, but while she was going into the cave, the candle blew out and it freaked her out, so she ran back.
Okay.
And later they found out that there was two bad guys, like thief type people, hiding in the back of the cave.
And she would have been there. So they're saying the Bell Witch helped her out.
Yeah.
I almost said the Blair Witch. That would have been bad. So okay, but that's the thing too. Like everything that's happened in like this, not even Tennessee. I think this story goes down even farther south. Everything like was just attributed to this one spirit, this one poltergeist, this one whatever. And like I said, it starts off with this guy's being tormented by John Bell and his family being tormented, but then it starts like it almost becomes like a party trick, which that's where to me I get really skeptical about stuff. I'm like, oh, and then like we talked to her and she said the winning lotto numbers are some bull crap like from yesterday. Like, okay, that's somebody like reading beneath the floorboards to me, you know that. So, and there's a lot of that from what I read. I was like, you know, they would basically people would it became a tourist attraction, this house. So people would come there, and they'd come there for an experience. And I don't even get at that point. I don't even get mad at the people that live there, even if they are doing something wrong. Because really, they're like, I want to. They're probably doing it out of the fact that they want to give these people something. They don't want people to just go there and be like, I nothing happened when I went there. What, you know?
Yeah.
So it's still stupid and it's still fake at that point. But it's intriguing nonetheless. Because it's a piece of folklore. It's almost like it's like a new tall tale, like a Paul Bunyan story or something like that. That's where it gets and as you say, it's there's a lot of parts that are creepy, that are weird and hard to explain. And so that's where it gets kind of interesting. You get some more?
Well, the actual story itself, it kind of starts to kick off around 1817, but it really started in like 1802-ish, when John Bell married a woman named Lucy in 1782. And they had a very fast-growing fortune, I'd say. And reputation in their town. So they decided to build their own home on a large plot of farmland along the Red River in Robertson County, Tennessee. Sadly, their first son, Benjamin, had died at an unknown time. I could not find
Well,
any death
and
information.
back in the day, you could die anything as a kid, like bury you got dysentery, you know, you get like you fall down the stairs wrong and there's no doctor, so I mean it's stuff that happened. It's sad, but you know, we are much less used to that today than they would be back then.
Yeah. Luckily, they brought themselves up from that traumatic death, and they kept building themselves up, you know. trying to keep themselves up, keep themselves positive. And then the weird hauntings started happening. It started off with like strange noises that were found all over the house. Wings flapping, gnawing on the family's bedposts, knocking on the
There's a lot of
windows.
animals in the first part of this haunting. A lot of strange animals. I remember reading about that.
And then they were caught off guard because they couldn't find any of these animals found in the house. But then those animal noises started turning into dogs snarling and chains dragging and strangled screams.
So the one thing I read, which was this would have messed me up in my head. He said that one of the first sightings began in 1817, and John Bell had seen a dog with a rabbit's head, a black dog with a rabbit's head. And
His son or his slave saw the same thing too.
he supposedly shot at the animal, but he missed it and disappeared.
It actually followed his slave home.
Yeah, like the rabbit head thing, but no. And then his son also saw a large bird of some sort, like a very large bird. It's an extraordinary size. So it's another weird animal sighting. Already, that's creepy. But how does that tie into a witch? Is that something a witch is known for? I don't really know, to be honest.
And
But
then,
also a dog with a rabbit head. Get out of here. No.
yeah, there was also when John's daughter Betsy saw a girl swinging by herself on an old tree. It was an old tree.
Oh, in the green dress? Yeah.
The girl in the green dress.
And yay.
Who knows? Maybe it was just a random girl.
And that's the thing too, like, okay, these are three different things. So this witch is just like being a goof. Like they're like, it's supposed to be scary, but also it almost feels like whatever, if it was a spirit of some sort, was playing around. Like, here's a dog with a rabbit head. Here's a girl in a green dress hanging out. Like, not she wouldn't. It didn't even say like the girl was being scary. She was just like swinging from the limb of a tree. Yeah, all right. But that's how this is back in 1817, and these hauntings lasted for decades. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I see the part where the slave had the large black dog follow. Oh, when he used to go visit his wife, the dog would like follow him. And that's not cool, man. Hey,
I'm out of
can
here.
you get some chill, Bell Witch? You gotta be chill, like.
Leave me alone.
Also this is when the poltergeist stuff started happening. And so it started off with the gnawing sounds, but it also started with bed sheets getting pulled. And as you know, in like even modern horror movies, Paranormal Activity is one of them where they like if you're in a bed and a bed sheet gets pulled off of you, that's a distinct feeling that you're like, that was not cool. You're like
I
that'll
didn't do
scare you.
that. Who did that?
That's very scary. So I could get where if that was actually happening, that would be terrifying. That would be a whole level of nightmare. And it's really almost kind of sounds like how a lot of modern horror movies act when they start off when they're talking about a ghost phenomenon anyway, like a poltergeist of some sort. The poltergeist starts off with little things and then ups the game until you're like, this is too much.
And after the chains dragging and stuff, it started getting a lot more physical though. The children started complaining of being touched, and of these attacks, the teenage daughter Betsy had gotten the worst of it. She was constantly punched, her hair was pulled, she would wake up with random bruises, and her face was slapped a lot. Nobody could figure out who or what was invading the Bell family residence. They thought that it was, well, one of two things. One was, I'm trying to remember.
Was it a djinn or?
They thought that the family was built on a Native American burial.
Oh yeah, that is a thing that I'm gonna say white people have used for many years, but
James Johnston
I guess
brought that up.
we'll say Americans have said for many years is that, oh, it's a native burial ground, so that must mean that the natives are slapping you up or something. Yeah, okay. But from like the weird stuff that's happening, especially later when there's like words in the Bellwitch is telling them stuff.
Yeah.
You know, why would a native person be doing that? Like, I don't know. You should marry that guy. Like, why would they care? They'd be like, get off my land, you know, or something like that. You know, like, hey, you're on our dead bodies. Can you please move your house? Like, that would make more sense than, like, that guy's not right for you. but, yeah, it is, it's wild, like, the way the story goes.
There's also an alternate theory that revolved around a woman who neighbored the Bell residence. Mm-hmm. Her name was Kate Batts. She was thought to be responsible. She was actually thought to be a witch. The Bell Witch.
The Bell Witch. Well, you know, and that's another thing. She was probably just a lady that was weird, which is what most witches were. They were either women that were, you know, more forward, and I'm saying that in quotes, like, than women were supposed to be back then, or they're women that were stranger than they were supposed to be back then,
mm-hmm.
and they were called witches because of that, which is like, okay. That to me is like, that's not enough for, why would this person be doing that if it isn't a supernatural being of some sort? Like, well, I'm just going to be an a-hole in death because you were an a-hole to me in life? I don't know.
They think that she really didn't like John. Yeah. She argued with John a lot. And the entity that was haunting the house actually accepted the name Kate, which is why they think it was Kate Bat.
See, to me, part of it is, if it was an intelligent entity, personally, what I think, which, like I said, that's still tough for me to believe, but if it was an intelligent entity, it might just be like that, because, like, oh, yeah, I can tell Kate bothers you, that you don't want it to be Kate, so it's Kate now, yeah. You know, that's what I would think, you know. I don't think... I feel like if you're that intelligent, why are you still on Earth, like, messing around? Like, get out of here. Take off. Like, you should know how to get out of here, right? I don't know. It's always been tough for me because I love paranormal. I love talking about ghosts.
Yeah.
I've felt some really weird stuff. And like I said, I think that was residual what I felt when we were in Gettysburg or something like that.
Like when you took the full body ghost picture?
It was a full head picture. It was a full head. But it was a face. And I don't think that person was there. I don't think that person didn't seem like they were paying attention to what I was doing, because they were just there to be in the battle that ended a long time ago. Type deal. So that's to me, it's like, okay, this thing's so intelligent and it's can. Do you have the part where the ghost recited parts of sermons that were happening simultaneously 13 miles apart?
No.
I was like, okay, first off, they didn't even have telephones back then, so how do you know exactly what that means? But also, like, so the ghost is omniscient? Is it, like, God at this point? Like, it could just hear from miles away and tell you what's going on with it? I don't know. It seems a lot to me. It seems like it almost seems like a tall tale at that point. Like, people are making the story bigger and bigger. Oh, it's a 50-foot tall guy with a blue ox, you know? That's what it feels like to me. But it's a big piece of Tennessee lore. It's a big piece of theatrical lore now. There's two movies at least done on it, even more. There's many people talking about this story. So there's got to be, I don't think there necessarily needs to be a shred of truth to it per se, although I think there's true pieces and weird stuff that happened. But I don't know if this is a intelligent haunting still to me.
What's even weirder is that the Bell Witch decided to get on first name basis with the Bell family. She even gave John a nickname, Old Jack.
Old Jack.
And then she started harassing John. She even gave him paralysis in the mouth.
Yeah, and she gave him, like, she's got, like, some kind of superpower. I mean, a witch, I guess. Maybe he just was old and got, like, had a stroke or something. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, what's paralysis of the mouth? Like, that's not like an ailment that you usually just get from a supernatural power. don't know.
Don't ask me, I'm not a doctor.
And there's a like I think James Johnston was the one who talked he kind of was like how it travels. Also said the entity was very acquainted with biblical texts and would recite them, would talk about them with amusement, would also share gossip from other households around the community to people that were there or the family that was there.
A lot of people think that the Bell Witch is the reason why John Bell died in 1820, because he kept getting ill and he only got sicker from 1817 to 1820.
I mean, wasn't he old Jack though? So he was already kind of old.
I have no idea how
But
old
like
Jack is.
you can now blame everything on the witch at this point. I mean, like if that's where you're going with it, the witch can't reply back. But yeah, from like 1821 to 1828, there was still stuff going on. This is even before.
Oh, he was 73 when he died.
Yeah, so I mean, 73 in 1820 is pretty old. That means he was around before America was a country. Like, that's how old he is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, okay, 73 is a ripe old age. It's not like he died so young and so suddenly. He had a stroke probably because he couldn't talk, and that's why his mouth was messed up, and then he died of complications maybe of that. So, oh yeah, that's right.
There was the laughing and the screaming at John's funeral, like the disembod there was disembodied laughing and like taunting after he died at his funeral.
Yeah, another again another story though.
Ha, a dead guy.
Well, I mean, you have a rapport with this family, so you're gonna laugh at that. I guess that's what a witch would do. I don't know, like, this is the part where Betsy Bell was going to be engaged to Josh,
Don't marry
to Joshua Gardner. And so in 1821, as a result of the witch's treatment, in treatment about this, Betsy Bell called off her engagement to Joshua Gardner.
him.
The entity at that point is like, well, I did this, so I'm just going to leave now. And the entity supposedly left for 7 years, which is weird.
And then the activity returned in 1828.
Correct. And this is when Lucy and her sons were still living at the house, so this was still happened. And then basically, I guess they chose at that point to, well, we're just gonna kind of ignore it, not encourage it. And so the witch supposedly took off again after that.
In 2008, there was a doctor who took an interest in the story, and so he started researching the Bell Witch. She agreed that the Bells were a real family in Tennessee. She also said that John Bell's symptoms were pointing to neurological problems.
Yeah, like a stroke or something, yeah.
Yeah. There was also a theory that he had been poisoned with arsenic. So that's a thing.
Well, I mean, he wasn't a pleasant dude, it seemed, from some of the accounts. Maybe foul play. Maybe it was the witch poison. I don't know.
That's
It's this story, like I said, there's a lot of other little stories that kind of run into this, like the Andrew Jackson part.
yeah.
There's a lot of do you know what exactly the thing was with Andrew Jackson?
Think I do. Hold on.
Okay. While you look up in your notes,
Oh yeah.
okay.
He actually had a property along the Red River, which was near the Bell's home. He said to have heard about the strange going ons, go going
Goings on.
goings
Yeah, you
on
got it.
there. And so he brought a wagon load of supplies to give to the family since they had a lack of supplies. When the wagons came, one of them was stuck for like no reason. And so Andrew Jackson had declared that it was the work of a witch. And then It said that there was a voice that came and said, "All right, General, let the wagon move on. I will see you again tonight." And then the wagon was free.
Did they see him again that night, though? Did he come
Nope.
back?
No.
He should have got out of there. I wouldn't. Like, no thanks. Yeah, there's a lot of disembodied soul, evil spirit type things involved with it, but most of the stuff really wasn't evil per se. Like, no, except for John Bell, who was maybe killed by this person. Most of it was kind of like, first of all, giving advice or gossip. Some of it was just talking about the Bible or talking about what other people were saying from maybe from distances away. It's really, and they're all stories to me, you know, like none of this is recorded, unfortunately, which is because it's the time there was not really anything to record this stuff on, so we write it down.
Yeah.
And like I said, to me, it feels like a Paul Bunyan. This is a story that's been passed down and exaggerated a little bit more and a little bit more until it's something real big and real crazy. And when somebody, when it, this ghost is talking about two things, or ghosts, poltergeist, whatever it is, talking about two things that are 13 miles away, it's either omniscient in some way or somebody's messing around to me. Like, there's not really, like, unless this is an all-powerful witch of some sort that's also disembodied, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
I wanted to, you know, I like these stories. They're weird. I really like to read about this story. So, like, what is it?
I'm all over the place.
And this is another thing too, you'll see when it comes to a lot of mysteries, is they grow because people add their experience, even if it's not related, into it and make it part of it. Well, my wagon stopped, so it must have been the witch. My dad died. It must have been the witch that did it. You know, our crops were really good or bad. The witch must have done it. And that's almost, if you think about how religious contexts and context evolve, that's how it starts. That's why people start giving offerings to gods, because they're like, oh, if I don't, bad things will happen.
Yeah.
And when I give things, good things sometimes happen. And so that's why I have to keep giving things to get the good things and not the bad things. And it's pretty crazy to see the those little pieces of whatever congeal together and make a legend like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that
Yeah.
hey, no, this was a good one. This was an interesting one. And I don't mind saying that I don't believe this, but you might, and that's okay. And I'm not saying you, Aiden, I'm saying the listener in general
I
might,
know.
but you might too. You know, if and that's okay. It's still good to research this stuff. It's still good to look into it and pick the piece out that's okay. This is BS, and this might be something. I like to be surprised when I do these things, and I was pretty surprised by just listening to the stories. And how many people, almost like a mass UFO sighting, where how everybody has a little bit of an experience that's a little bit different. I dig that kind of stuff. So, that's all we have for Big Little Mysteries Episode 3. Do you have Episode 4's? Do you know what we're doing yet?
Join us next week for The Hauntings of Gettysburg.
The Hauntings of Gettysburg, guys. That one might be 3 hours by itself.
And
You might part two, part three.
we can put our experiences
I
in.
have a lot of experience from there already, so that might
I
be a
can come from
multi-episode
another
arc, guys.
Gettysburg too.
But guys, keep looking into the mysteries and tell us what you think. We love to hear your stuff, and right after I post this, I'm gonna go read the comments for the first two. So thanks for being here with us, and enjoy the mysteries.